Okay, so we're on the Kuf Aleph Amud Aleph on line 1, 101A. That's page 201. If you remember in the Mishnah that we did last night, so the Mishnah mentioned you have somebody who's not sure who his father is. And in other words, the mother married for a second time within 3 months of her relationship with the first. It might have been his nos relationship. Whatever the relationship was, she remarried within 3 months. And the son knows he's a Kohen because both parents were Kohenim, both fathers are Kohenim, but he doesn't know which his Mishmar is and things like that. So the Tana of the Mishnah said that, it says on the fifth wide line on Kuf Amud Beis, it says, if the son strikes either father, or the son curses either father, he's patur. In other words, that's a capital crime in halacha. If you strike your father, it means b'meizei b'asra, that means chayiv misa. And the same thing with the klala. So, but he's cursing. So, but if he curses one and not the other, he's patur because he don't know if that's really the son. So, take a look at the top line on Kuf Aleph Amud Aleph. So it says hayushneim kohenim v'chulei. So Tan Rabbanan, he kazeh. Let's say he hits, in other words, Reuben will be the first, you know, ostensible father, and Shimon the second one. So he hit Reuben, then he hits Shimon. Or kilelzeh b'chazar b'kilelzeh, where he curses Reuben, and then he curses Shimon. Or he says, kilel shneim b'ad achad, or he cursed them both at the same time, like, you know, in the same sentence, he curses both of them. Or he kashneim b'bad achad. He hits them both with, like, he takes a pole and he strikes them both at the same time, like bang, right? So he says chayav. So according to Tanakam is chayav. So Rashi explains that that it's, in other words, this Tana holds that hatrat sapek is a good hatrat. In other words, because when he's striking one parent or cursing one parent and then striking or cursing the other parent, so each time he has to get hasra. So I'll say, you may be chayiv, this, you're chayiv misa, this is your father, but I don't know if it is your father. And then the second one, I'll say the same thing. So the Tana Kama holds that you're chayiv, prasrat sapek, if you do both. In other words, it's a sapek, but you got the hasra, and you did both. So at the end of the day, we could say you did an action that you're chayiv misa for, and so you will be chayiv misa. And then, if we say shnei b'bad achad, or kilel shnei b'bad achad, so then even if Hatras Safi isn't good, there I have Hatras Fagba. Then on the fourth line, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Vadachar Chayav, Bizachar Patur. The Tan Rabbi Yehuda holds it has to be Hatrat Vada, it can't be Hatrat Safek. So he says, if it's Vadachat, you're Chayav. If it's Bizachar Zah, you're Patur. So the Gemara says, Bahatanya, but we learn the Bryce, a different version of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Patur, Bavadachat. So in the Bryce, Rabbi Yehuda says, even if it's Bavadachat, even if the child curses both parents at the same in the same sentence, or even if he strikes them with the same action, he's patur. So we don't understand the reason for this, and we have to figure it out. So the Gemara says, "Trei Tanoia, leave it to Rabbi Yehuda." So the Gemara says there are two versions about what the Tana Rabbi Yehuda holds. There was two Tanaim have different Mesorah, what Rabbi Yehuda holds. So one Tana holds that he says you're chayiv b'vad achat, and one holds you're not chayiv b'vad achat. So the Gemara says, "My Tama demand the patur. What's the reason for the tzad?" That says Rabbi Yehuda is poter b'vad achad. What ostensible reason would it be to acquit a person in that circumstance? So the Gemara says, we're around the eighth line on Kuf Aleph Amud Aleph. So the Gemara says, Am Rabbi Chanina, Nemar Bracha Lamata, Nemar Bracha Lamala. So Lamata means down here on earth. Bracha is a Lashon Sagina Hor. It's just the opposite. In other words, the Torah tells you if you curse your parents, you're Chayav Mita. It says, Nemar Bracha Lamala. And then it says, If you curse the Ribono Shel Olam, he says you're going to be. Let me get the pesukim out. So one pasuk is in Parshat Mishpatim, and the other pasuk is in Parshat Emor. So in Parshat Emor, it says, "Thank you." It says right. So it says, "V'al b'nei sotim mor ish ishki kalei lelokav nasecheto." If he curses his God, he'll bear his iniquity. But Chazal teach us it means the fee of mita. Okay. And then in Parshat Mishpatim, let's get it out. In Parshat Mishpatim, thank you, it's very helpful. Okay. So in Parshat Mishpatim, it says, Umakalela vivi momot yumad. So it mentions Klala vis-a-vis the parent, and it mentions Klala vis-a-vis Kadosh Baruch Hu. So back in the Gemara, around line 8 on Kuf Aleph Min Aleph 101a. So he says, Nemar Barach Lamakav and Nemar Barach Lamala. Mala Mala Shein Bashutfut. So just like when we talk about cursing the Kadosh Baruch Hu, there's no question, in other words, there's no safek who we're talking about. That's the person, that's the entity that, you know, that we're talking about. He says, so too, when you're cursing, you know, the parent down below, means on earth, it has to be like, can't be a sapek with it. The article said it's a binyan av. We're just comparing one didn't klala by another didn't klala. And then the Gemara says, itkash hakala klala. There's a hekesh between hak. So klala, we know, doesn't apply according to this Tana, which is one version of Rabbi Yehuda, but I'm not sure who my parent is. And then similarly, he says v'itkash haka l'klala. So in Parshat Mishpatim, it mentions klala. It says b'klal v'vimot imad. And then it says two psukim earlier umakeya v'vimomot imad. So this Tana also holds that you can have a hekesh even though it's like separated by a pasuk in between, which isn't so pashut. It was a hekesh is when you have like two items that are connected, typically in the same pasuk. So here we have, let's say, Pasuk 1 and Pasuk 3. So there's a Pasuk in between, but he still holds it's a Hekesh. So the Pasuk in between has nothing to do with anything. It says, if you kidnap somebody. So that's the reason for this version of Rabbi Yehuda holds that you're not Chayiv if you're Mekalel, your father, and you're not sure who the father is, even though you do both fathers, or you hit both fathers, even B'vad Achak. What? Yeah, even B'vad Achad, you're not chayav according to this opinion. Okay, any questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did so far? Okay, I'm moving on. Now, the Gemara says, so again, I'm just repeating. So yesterday we spoke about the Mishnah. You have a young man who's, you know, the mother had, it could be a relationship with one Kohen. It might be out of wedlock. We learned one who came to the Gemara. And then less than 3 months later, she marries somebody else. So he's born. And he doesn't know who the father is, whether it's Reuben or Shimon, but he knows that both fathers are Kohanim. So the Tana Mishnah says, let's look back at the Mishnah on the Kufim days. So the Tana Mishnah says, on the fifth wide line, on page 100B, Kufim days, Oled Mishmaro Shalzeh, Vishalzeh. So he is going to serve, in other words, every Kohen has a Mishmar that he's part of, like a shift, 20, remember the 24 Mishmarot in the time of the second base of Mikdash. So he's going to serve in the Mishmar of the father and the Mishmar of both the fathers, Reuben and Shimon. They know Cholek, but he doesn't get to divide up the meat of the korbanot or the hides of the korbanot or anything. And then the Tana Mishnah says, I mean, you should name a Mishmar Echad. If it happened that both, you know, fathers in quotation marks were in the same Mishmar, he'll kill Chelek Echad. He gets one Chelek. Let's see back from the Gemara. So, Oleh Mishmar of Cholek. So the Gemara says, V'thim Echad, they know Cholek, Lama Oleh. Since he's not getting any portion of the korban, in other words, you do a lot of korbanos that week, and by the korbanos, you get, you know, a chalek in the world of korbanos. You know, if it's a korban shlamim, you get a chalek in it, and then the korban chatad, there's all so many things you get a chalek of. So he's not getting a cut in the action, so to speak. So why is he doing any avoda? So the Gemara says, Lama ola, ha'amar, b'inidina, b'mitzvah. What do you mean? He says, I want to do a mitzvah. I want to serve in the base of Mikdash Roin. Ella Allah lo katani ella oleb al korcho. The Gemara says that the deacon of the Mishnah it doesn't say Allah, it says oleb. The Gemara takes the word oleb means that we could even compel him to serve in the Beis HaMikdash, notwithstanding the fact that he's not getting a chelek in the korbanot. So Amar Abacha Brachanina Mar Baye Amar Abasa Ryochran Mishum Pekam Mishpacha. So it means that each of the Mishmarot can force him to serve in the Beis HaMikdash because it's like would lead to is like degradation or disparagement of the Mishmar. In other words, if they see him and he's not serving let's say they see this person and he's not serving avoda, so people think, oh, he's a ben grusha or ben chalutza. It's like creating aspersions about our larger family, our chevra, who we got here. So therefore, it's like the extent that people think he's Reuven's son, so we're going to force him to do the Mishmar, and the other one we're going to force him to do the other Mishmar. But notwithstanding that, if you look at the Rashi, Yishim Pagam, Shtei Mishpachot Shaboshalav, but both families, it means each Mishmar is a family, a larger family unit, are embarrassed for him. Shemru B'nei Adam Pasul La'Avod, that people are going to say, he's Pasul for a vote, and he's connected with you. So that's a Busha, so we don't want Busha, so we're going to force you to do a vote. Let me just finish the parak. 1 minute, I'll finish the parak in the last question, okay? We said if both fathers, Reuven and Shimon, were in the same Mishmar, then he could serve and he gets a chelek. So the Gemara says, why is it two Mishmarot that he can't get a chelek? He'll go to this Mishmar and they'll say, you're not really part of our Mishmar, so go to the other Mishmar. Go to the other Mishmar and they'll say, you're not really part of our Mishmar, go to the other one. So the Gemara says, Mishmar Echa Nami Azilahai Beit Abba Matkulei. So if you remember the Mishmarot, and again, it's families of Kohanim. It means like the Shevet Kohuna is divided into 24 Mishmarot during the time of the second base of Mikdash. Remember, we learned the Gemara Masechet Tanis. Originally, I think there were 8 Mishmarot, and then it expanded, remember, with David HaMelech and Shmuel, and it ended up with 24 Mishmarot. So each Mishmar serves 1 week every 24 weeks, but then each Mishmar is divided into Batei Av. So there's two Lashonos in Rashi. Rashi in one place here says that they are divided into 6 Batei Av. In other words, other family, you know, closer family units. So one Beit Av works on Sunday. Each one works 1 day of the week, and then on Shabbos they all work. But then Rashi, Masechet Tanis, says there are 7 Batei Av, and each one gets a day of the week. But whatever it is, so back in the Gemara says, So Mishmar Chanami, Azilahai Beit Av Amatkulei, but even within the Mishmar, so he's in one Beit Av, they'll push him and say, you're not part of our Beit Av, go to the other Beit Av. And then the Bach has Azilahai Beit Av Amatkulei, and the other Beit Av will push him away. I'm Rav Papa Hachi Gamar. Rav Papa says, this is what the Mishnah means, this is the way we should understand the Mishnah. Yimayushneim Mishmar Achad Ubeit Av Achad. If both fathers were from the same Mishmar, and both were the same Beit Av, then he can serve and get a chelek. Then no tel chelek achad. Otherwise, he can't get a chelek. So it's a rough deal. Like, you know, I was thinking like he's doing the work and he's not getting a chelek in the korbanot, and they're compelling him to do it. But that's the way the Gemara is saying. And that was mentioned in the article about the Mishmarot, about the Rashi and Tanis and the Rashi here. Okay, who's got questions, comments, or thoughts on anything we did so far? Yeah. Well, I don't know. I mean, people are capable of all sorts of fraud, but you know, I don't know what to say. Like if they see him and then they. No, in other words, like they know again. The mother had relations with Reuven and Shimon. Yeah, so Reuven and Shimon. You know, we know who Reuven's Shimon Mishmar is, and Shimon. It's like the family, the chevra. It's like the shul. You know. And then this fellow is the question, is he Reuven's son or Shimon's son? So it's like, you know, to the extent he's little, you know, so that's okay. Okay. Any other questions, comments, or thoughts with him? Yeah, I tell you, that's really a Shiloh. That's really, I don't know if it's a great idea, Frank. I don't know if it's a good, I have to look into it. But if, in other words, if you're coming into collision with you, even though it's like consent for playing, not so pashut. You know, I would, to my way of thinking, I would avoid a situation like that. Okay, now the Hadralach Nosin Al Anusa Yeshikoach. We're less than 30 days to the Siyum. As a matter of fact, the Siyum is 3 weeks from tonight. 3 weeks from tonight is the Siyum. Okay, I'll talk to you more after the daf about the Siyum. Okay, now.
Rabbi, quick question regarding hitting both the potential fathers. If it's toch kedei dibur, is that considered to be simultaneous?
So I don't think so, because it's a different action. I don't think so. I hear what you're saying, but it doesn't sound like it is, because Rashi gives the example. Where's Rashi? He says, one second. Yeah, if you look at the second wide line in Rashi, about Achat, Shechavtan b'makel b'haka'achat. Rashi says, with one haka'a, one action, I do it. So it sounds like, from the fact that Rashi gives that example, it doesn't sound like one action, then another action, even though it's tokidei dibur, doesn't sound like that would count as barachat. That's the way it sounds like. But I don't know for sure. Okay, let's see back in the Gemara. Okay, Hadralach, no sin on Nusa. Okay, the next parak is about the dinim of Chalitza, which is nice. So, mitzvah Chalitza b'shlosha dayanim v'akadush shloshan shan hedyoto. The mitzvah Chalitza is three dayanim, even if they're three laymen, they're not educated people. And the Gemara is going to ask, why are they called dayanim if they're even hedyoto? So it's going to come up now. The term minal and term sandal, it means, the way Rashi understands it, minal means it's like soft leather, and sandal is hard leather. In other words, there's a chashash that the leather will tear. So if a person did chalitza and his chalitza shoe was a minal, even though we usually translate minal as like a shoe, but it means it's like a soft leather shoe, chalitza kshera, but the avid, the chalitza is kshera. But on pilya, chalitza psula. On pilya is like leggings, Rashi says like a sock, whatever, but it's not something leather, that's chalitza psula. The sandal, sheish lo akev, kasher, sheish lo akev pasul. So here, akev doesn't necessarily mean the heel. A sandal is the preferable thing to use for the chalitza, but it means if it's a complete sole, everything is there, and the whole foot is covered, then it's kasher. Sheish lo akev pasul means if part of the sole is missing, then it's not. If it's not, then it's pasul. Minar kuva lamata chalitza kshera. If he does the chalitza, minar kuva means below the knee. In other words, you have a lot of straps with this chalitza shoe. I'm sorry that I don't have a chalitza shoe to show you. It's hard to get a copy on loan. there's a special chalitza shoe and it has a lot of straps with it. And then they wrap the straps around the leg. So he says, minar kuva lamata chalitza kshera. So if you do the chalitza from the knee down, it's kshera. It means if the person's an amputee and they put the shoe on the upper thigh and he's doing the straps around the upper thigh, that's chalitza psula. I don't know what the woman would do in a place, but if he's only yavam, yeah. Now, chalitza b'sandal change shalo. Let's say this chalitza b'sandal, but it doesn't belong to the yavam. Obasandal shall eight, or it's wood, a wooden shoe. Obashal small be amin, or it's a left shoe on the right foot, chalitza kshera, being chalitza kshera. And there's a question if you can do chalitza on the left foot. Well, it's machloket later on in the Gemara. Okay, now, chalitza begadol shehu yechol alokbo, let's say it's an oversized shoe, and I say shoe, I'm using a loose term, and you want to use it like a sandal, but it means it's an oversized shoe, I'm using it loosely. He says that he can walk with it. Obekatan shu kfet rov raglo. Or it's a too small a shoe, but it covers most of his foot. Chalitza takshir. It's a kosher chalitza. Okay. Who's got questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did on the mission?
Why is this all important?
Is it Fern? Who's talking right now?
Fern. Hello.
Yeah, why is this all important? Because you want to be outside the chalitza. In other words, if you don't do the... It's like any mitzvah. Like, why is it important that this don't go on the head and not on the forehead? You want to be
okay. Wait a minute. We're trying to break the Zika here, so she can go on with her life.
Right. You got to get all the ingredients correct. You know, you got to do it the way the Torah says.
It's a shoe. Isn't it an act of symbolism?
Whatever you may understand with the symbolism, but there's a mitzvah. In other words, you could say tefillin represent this, or a talis represents that. Or sukkah represents this, or lulav represents this, but there are requirements to do the mitzvah.
But it's not to dissolve a relationship.
All right. So chuppah represents something, and kiddushin represents something, but you need formalities. Okay,
that
what else
you want to put together?
What?
Doesn't have to be this person's shoe.
No. Okay. No. Right. That's we learned in the Mishnah, right? We said if it's she'ain shalo, it's k'shera. Okay. Now, back in the Gemara, okay, I'm going on with the Gemara. Now, the Gemara says, once you tell me that even three hedyotod means three laymen can preside over this chalitza, so why does the Tana Mishnah say, Mr. Chalitza b'shlosha dayanim? He says, hakamash malan, v'ina b'shlosha shiodim lahakrod ke'in dayanim. So the Gemara says that we need three people who know how to recite the psukim. You know, they have to feed the psukim. There's like a, you know, there's a dialogue that takes place between the Yavama and the Yavam. And Rashi goes through it. What is Rashi? He says, L'hakrot, L'yavam, lo kafatsi l'kakta, And then to her, they have to be like Dayanim, that they don't have to know to be able to recite those psukim. Although, let's hear from the Al Hadaf. So Rashi and Tosos maintain that the three judges on the Chalitza panel need only to be literate in the verses that are recited during the Chalitza ceremony. Tosfos explains that if the layman is supervising the Chalitza have any doubts or questions, they could inquire and seek direction from a competent authority. However, they must be well-versed in the Chalitza passage to ensure they are properly recited. The Ritva and the Nemuke Yosef disagree and maintain the term hedyotot in the context of this Mishnah means judges who lack smicha, ordination, but it means like ordination going back to Moshe Rabbeinu, means they don't smicha, they can't be on the bezdin for dinin nefashot. However, the judges must be proficient in the laws of Chalitza. So there's a machloket we've shown him how to understand the word hedyotot. Does hedyotot mean they know everything, they just don't have smicha? Or hedyotot means, pshuta k'mashmo, they just know how to read. The Rambam rules that if a Chalitza was performed before a panel of thoroughly ignorant and illiterate individuals, it is valid to be b'dieved after the fact. But Yosef suggests that such a Chalitza is perhaps valid only if the Yavam Yavama are literate and capable of properly reciting the Chalitza passages. The Vilna Gaon indicates that according to the Nemuke Yosef and the Ritva, if the individuals on the Chalitza panel are illiterate, the Chalitza is invalid. So the Gra says, within the second tzad, if they're not learned in the dinim, it's not good. The Rama writes, preferred custom is for the rabbi of the town to reside over the Chalitza together with respective community members. The Gemara on Kuf Aleph Amud Beis coming up says that in order to publicize the Chalitza ceremony, should be performed before a panel of five people rather than three. So the Gemara is going to say you need three, but five is better. He publicizes it. Rashi explains that publicizing the Chalitza is done, so the Konim should be aware that the woman is forbidden for them as a Chalitza. I know she's a Chalitza. And alternatively, it helps the Chalitza's prospects for finding a husband by advertising she's available to free and free to be married. Interestingly, the Pirkei de Rebbe Lezer states that in order to publicize the Chalitza, it should be performed in the presence of 10 people. So, but that's just a side issue. All right, that's. I haven't seen it perform. I've seen like a mock-up for it where I was like one of the for, I think in one I was performing the person wearing the shoe. I go to this Yadin Yadin Kola. So for the Yadin Yadin Kola, they brought the Chalitza shoe and they went through how to do the Chalitza, but I never saw the ceremony actually being performed. Okay, let's see back in the Gemara. Now, the Gemara says, okay, now Tanina Laha. What? I'm sorry, thinking what? About the Hedyotot. Yeah, so there, the Machaber says that they don't have to be well learned. They do have to know Aleph and Beis about the Dinim of Nedarim. I try to go over that with people. They do need to know the difference between Harata and what's the other term? Harata and with a petach or a harata, and certain basic dinim. But in other words, it's a din in hedyotot there, but the hedyotot there may not be the same as the hedyotot here. Okay, let's see back on the Gemara. Now the Gemara says, Tanina. We learned in the Mishnah, Lahatan Rabbanan, that which the Chum teaches in a Braisa. So the Braisa says, Mitzvah Chalitza B'Shlosha, Jyodim Lahakro, Ke'in Dayanim. The Tanakhama says, the Mitzvah Chalitza, it has to be with three people who know how to recite Sukkim like Dayanim. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, B'Chamisha. Rabbi Yehuda says you need five, not three. So that proves that the Braisa mentions what we had here, but now the Gemara is getting into a whole discussion about this machloka, do I need three or five? So my Tama the Tanakama, what's the reason for the Tanakama who says I only need three dayanim? The Tanya Zitanim Shnayim. So it says in Chumash, the Pasuk is, I want to fix that. It says, Yivim To Elav Leineha Zitanim. So Yivim To Leineha Zitanim. So the woman goes, le'enehas kenim. So back in the Gemara, so it's Tani, zkenim shnayim. Zkenim implies two. He says, ve'ein beitin shakul. We can't have a bezdin with the same number of people. So according to the Tanakama, that's how I know I need three dayanim for chalitza. Let's second. Let's see. No, Rashi says, "Val tazi yom tov shara el has kenim." Which one did you think? One second. Yeah. So he's Pasuk Zion. Yom tov shara. One second. Well, you're right. Rashi does put a different pasuk. The art scroll had this one. One second. Wait, which one? Okay, wait. Let me take a look. Let me take a look. 25. No, I don't think 8 is what we're talking about here yet. Wait. El has king. So I was quoting Pasuk Zion, and you say it should be which one? Pasuk Tet. They show you totally Ne has kingdom. You're right. It's not Tet. You're right. Pasuk Zion. Yeah. I got misled because the article had, maybe I was looking at the wrong line. Whatever. I saw it in the article. Okay. You know, you have posted each like talking to me. I'll tell you to a Shara El has Canaan. Right. So it goes to this Canaan. So back in the Gemara. So he says, if it's Canaan Shnaim, maybe it didn't Shakot was the Lord of Chag. Rekhan Shlosha. Rabbi Yehuda, Zikne Shnaim. Now, Rabbi Yehuda is referring to a different Pasuk. It says, the Karulo, Zikne Irob, Dibruy Lav. Zikne Irob will call him. So he says, Zikne Shnaim, Zikanev Shnaim. Maybe the shkul was simply Mordechai and Reikan Chamisha. So the Tana Rabbi Yehuda, he says, yeah, mentions Canaan in one pasuk, and it says Ziknei in a different pasuk. So 2 and 2 is 4, and then I add one more, I get 5. Okay, but Tana Kama Hay Ziknei Amayavili. Okay, that's the basic machloket between the 3 and the 5. Now the Tana Kama, the Chachamim says there's only 3. What do we learn from that word Ziknei? He says Mibayle the Rabuya Yafilu Shloshe Hadyoto. From there they learn that it can even be hadyoto. In other words, in the first pasuk it says kainim, so the implication is that it's like zikanim who knows something, and then here it says vikarulo ziknei iro. So here they think it's like even somebody who doesn't know so much. Let's look for him. So he says here, mibayle the rabbi if you shush hadyoto. Rabbi Yehuda hadyoto menale. Where does the Tana Rabbi Yehuda? We assume that the Tana Rabbi Yehuda agrees with that. Then that they could be hadyoto. Where does he know it from? He says, "Minale nafkale min la'ene." He says, "That's the next pasuk that I quote originally." But he's playing between love la'ene has kainim. So he says, "La'ene to the eyes is kainim." The amamar la'ene prat l'sumim. In other words, that they can't be blind. And with the itzrich la'ene lemiuti sumim, since I need a specific word in the Torah to exclude blind judges. Shvomina dafilu hetyoto. From there, I can derive that even hedyotot are qualified to be the dayanim here. Why? Sanhedrin, but you know, if I would think I need people who are qualified to serve on the Sanhedrin, so he says, "Lamali luti sumim." Why would I need a specific word to exclude blind people? Miditani Rav Yosef dafka. I know that from the brisa that Rav Yosef taught. Tani Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef taught the following brisa: Shem shebeitin menuka b'tzedek. Just like the Beis Din has to be like totally, you know, like free of any wrongdoing, so too the Beis Din has to be clear of any mum. Shnemar, turn page on the top line on Amud Beis, kulach yafa rayati umumein ba. You're beautiful and you don't have a mum. And that's what Chazal is saying, talking about the Sanhedrin. So Mamela, if they had to be people ruined to sit on the Sanhedrin, so I know already they can't be blind because blind is considered a mum. So since I have a word to assume blind people, so Mela, that teaches me that even Hedyoto could serve. So now that was according to Rabbi Yehuda. The Idach, Hahu Le'enei my Abilei. So what does the Tana Kama do with the word Le'enei? Hahu Lichta Rabba Hu Da'ata. So they say that comes to teach me that which Rabba taught. Dama Rabba, Srichi De'ane, Mechase Ruka, the Kanafik Mipuma, the Yabama. Rabba says the Dayanim have to see the spittle leave the woman's mouth. In other words, it says, you know, it doesn't mean she doesn't spit in his face, she spits on the ground, we'll come to see, but they have to see the spittle leave her mouth. He says, Dechtiv le'enei hazkenim biyarka. So that's, so be'irach namim b'aylech rabba. So the Gemara says, if that's the case, so then Rabbi Yehuda also needs it for that reason. So inachinami, Hedyoto Menale, so we're back to square one. So then where does the Tana Rabbi Yehuda know that Hedyoto are qualified to to serve on the Beis Din because he can't use it from Ziknei because he used it to teach Milah to Dayanim. We're around line six on Alchem and Beis. So Nafka mi B'Yisrael. So he learns it out from the word B'Yisrael. So it is Rashi, it says, Lahakim Lachiv Shem B'Yisrael. He says, Me'eni Yivami Lahakim Lachiv Shem B'Yisrael. The woman says, my Yavam has declined to establish, you know, like for his brother, a name in B'Yisrael. So he says, Me B'Yisrael, Yisrael called to who? It means that B'Yisrael, in other words, he's declined to do it in the presence of Yisrael. So Yisrael is any Jew, right, that way. B'idach, so that's the way the Rebbe Yehuda is going to learn. B'idach, hi Yisrael, or B'Yisrael mayavi lei. So what does Tanakama do with that? Mibayle the Tani Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda. So he needs it, the Tanakama uses for the reason that Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda teaches in the Braisa. B'Yisrael, B'Yitin Shal Yisrael, B'Yitin Shal Gerim. That the Beis Din has to be comprised of, like, you know, Jews that are, you know, not converts. He says that, in other words, a convert can sit on a Beis Din for Dinim Mamonot, a convert can't sit on a Beis Din for Dinim Fashot, but a convert can't sit on a Beis Din for Chalitza. He says, Be'idach, so that's the way the Tanakhama is going to do it. So now, where's Rabbi Yehuda going to learn that from? You'll see there's another B'Yisrael that's written in the Parsha. So he'll learn it from the other B'Yisrael. So what's the other B'Yisrael? Wait, what is it? Yeah, right. At the end, B'Nikmashvo B'Yisrael B'Yikolatanal. B'Yidach, but the Tanakama, Yibayle left the Tanin. The Tanakama will use that second B'Yisrael to teach me is what we learned in the Braisa. I'm Rabbi Yehuda, Kamachari and Yoshin Lehne Rabbi Tarfon. It says, once we were sitting before Rabbi Tarfon, Uba Yivama Lachlot, a Yivama came to Chalitza. Va'amar Lano, he, Rabbi Tarfon, said to us, Anu Kulchem Chalitanal. Everybody answer Chalitanal. So it means, like, everybody who's there has to participate and say Chalitanal. Let's be Israel. The Idach, I guess Rabbi Yehuda, right? Mi Vinikra Nafka. He says he'll be called. Elamiata Bikaru. So now the Gemara goes on to roll. So back to the second pasuk that we decided. So the Niyach, so again, so we learned that according to the Tanakhama, you need three, because it says the Kanim, and that's two, and then it can't be equal, so it's three. And then the Tanakh of Yehuda said, it says Zikne. So Zikne is another two, and so it can't be equal, so it's got to be five. So the Gemara says, well, what did the Chachamim learn from the word Zikne? So you said that's even Hedyotot. And then we said, where does Rabbi Yehuda know Hedyotot from? So we got off a little bit sidetracked with that. But in the end, the Gemara said Be Israel. He knows from Be Israel that they could be even Hedyotot. And then what do the Chachamim learn from Be Israel? So they learn that it has to be a Beis Din of Be Israel, can't be baked in a Gerim. And then Rabbi Yehuda has a different B'Yisrael he learns it from. And the Gemara says, what are the Chachamim? So the Chachamim learned that anybody who's present has to say Chalutanal. So let's see back. Elamiyato v'karu shenayim v'dibru shenayim. So the Gemara says, once you're doresh that pasuk, so the pasuk we began with was, let me get the pasuk out. He says, yeah, this is pasuk chet, right? The karu, Zion? Yeah, Zion says, No, but then it says v'karu lo. He says, no, v'karu v'dibru. That's pasuchet, right. So once we're darshening, like, zakenim is plural, but it says v'karu lo and v'dibru elav. So why don't we add another four? V'karu shnayim v'dibru shnayim, according to both. So the Gemara says, hachanami, the Rabbi Yehuda reikan tishah. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, I should have nine judges. The Rabbanan are Rekhan Shiva, seven. I'm needing another four. So the Gemara says, "Ahumi ba'ilei l'chitanya." I need those words. Teach me the following halachot. V'karulo below shlucham. In other words, they, the dayanim, have to call the yavam, and they can't send a shliach to call him. He says, "V'dibru ilav l'meish masin lo eitzah ha'ogenelo." Dibru ilav teaches that they like counsel. It sounds almost like pastoral counseling. They give them like proper advice. He says, Shim who yelled, Shim Hayahu yelled. Let's say he's 15, but he's a Kana, and she's 50. So he says, who's a Kana Hialdo? Or he's, you know, 60 and she's 15. He says, Omen lo, Malacha Yisrael Yalda, like, what do you mean, want to be involved with a young girl like this? Malacha Yisrael Zakena, Klach Yisrael Shkmorcha, like, find somebody like you. Yataknis Ketatan Tok Beitecha, don't insert, like, quarrels in your house. We had this early in the Gemara. Yeah, on Mem Dalet. Right, I remember this was during, I think, Chol Hamoed Pesach we had it, because I remember I was learning in Yeshiva Or HaChaim, and I heard a speech, there was a Rav there that I spoke to. So we don't want katata. So Shrine. So I think we're good. Now, any questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did so far?
Yeah, Rabbi, I have a question.
What's up?
So they're saying that because the ages don't match up and they're not a good match, why do you want to do something like the Torah gave you a commandment, Lakim Shem to the brother, is an inyan l'shem shamayim. Ashkenazim and other people say you cannot do it if it's not for the right reasons and if it's not the right. Shema. So do right. It Hashem Shamayim. Doesn't make a difference, yeah. 50 years difference. Yeah, yeah, still, yeah, he can have a child. He can his brother's life back.
I understand, but like, we don't want to create a situation where people are getting divorced and things are marriages.
Why not? You divorce, at least you're going to have a child. I mean, the Torah gave you a commandment. Why is that so pashut? Why do you want to go with somebody who's not a match for you? He's doing it for his brother.
Yeah, we want Shalom. Let me see. On Mem Dalet, I had something. What was it? In other words, it's like Derech Darchei Noam. We're calling Tzivot Shalom. We want. We don't want to. We don't want to create a situation like this. Let me take a look at Mem Dalet. He says
that was the pasuk they used a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah. Okay. All right. That's the best I have for you, Daniel. Okay. Yeah. So we had it on Mem Dalet Amud Aleph. Let me see what he says on Mem Dalet Amud Aleph. He says, all right. That's it. Okay. I got to move on. Now, okay. Let's see back on the Gemara. So the Gemara says we're three lines above where it gets wide on Kuf Aleph days. So Amar Rava, Amar Rav Nachman, Halacha Chalitza B'Shlosha, Hol B'Satam Lan Tanak Kvate. So Rava says the Halacha is that Chalitza is three Dayanim, because in other words, in our Mishnah, it doesn't give a separate opinion. In our Mishnah, it just says the Mitzvah Chalitza B'Shlosha. So I see an anonymous Mishnah, you know, that's formulating the Halacha with three, so the Halacha is that way. He says, Amar Li Rava Rav Nachman, so Rava says to Rav Nachman, so Rava quoted Rav Nachman. Now, Rabbah says to Rav Nachman, "Ihachi miyunami." If that's the case, the same halacha should pertain by miyun. Miyun, remember, is where a woman's or a young girl's, or, you know, brothers or mother marry her off. The father's out of the picture. Either the father's dead, or the father had married her off. Then she got divorced. So the mother and the brothers marry her off. But she can elect to pull out of it. So Didnan hamiyun b'chalitza b'shlosha. We learn in the Mishnah. There's the first Mishnah, the second Sanhedrin. The Tanah Mishnah says that Miyun and Chalitza are with three Dayanim. So that's a Stam Mishnah as well. Then the Halacha should also be the Stam Mishnah that I need three Dayanim for Miyun. But Chitema Hakanami, so you say Taka, that's the way you will paskin, that will also be a Stam like Halacha like that. But Hatanya, but we learn in the Braisa, Miyun, Beit Shammai Umrim, Beitin Mumchim. Beit Shammai says you need a Bezdin of Mumchim, like with Dayanim who have Smicha. It could be, you know, smuchim or not smuchim, but elu elu modim tzrich shlosha. But both Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel agree that you need three dayanim. Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Blaza, Rabbi Yosi, or Rabbi Shimon, machshirim b'shtayim. Last two tanaim say that for me and I could have two dayanim. But Amar Rabbi Yosi bar Minyumi, Amar Rabbi Nachman. And so this is a quote from Rabbi Nachman, the same Rabbi Nachman who said here, Halacha is chalisa b'shlosha. Halacha koto azug. The halacha is like that pair, meaning two. So the question is, how can Rav Nachman here say the halacha is like a stam mishnah, so it's three? How can by me and we also have a stam mishnah, and yet Rav Nachman himself says halacha is not like the stam mishnah, halacha is two? So the Gemara says, hatam chad stama. So over there, there's only one, over there, there's only one stam mishnah. He says, vahacha tre stami. Here, we have two stam mishnahs. In other words, we have the Stam Mishnah that we just learned, and then we have the first Mishnah of the Second Sanhedrin. They both say that Chalitza is three Dayanim. Right. But there's only one Stam Mishnah that says about Miyun being three. So the Gemara says, Hatam Nami Trei Staminin. The Gemara says, over there, there's also two Stam Mishnayot. Ditan, because we learn it in the Mishnah. Now, this is a different Mishnah. This Mishnah is earlier in our Masechta. It says, Miena Oshachatz Bethanav. So this is talking about if a person's a Dayan, and it has to do with Hatar Nadarim. So, Yishab Neder, Hareza Luisa'ena. So if a dayan sustains like a din about whether a nether applies to a woman, like when she's married, so sometimes if he says that the nether applies, that the couple have to get divorced. In other words, let's say she made a nether, she's not going to give any of her nether to the husband. So if you can't revoke that, so then they have to get divorced. So, but the Tana Mishnah says that the dayan shouldn't marry her. He says, Miyana o Shechatz b'fanav, but he says that if she does Miyan or she does Chalitz in front of him, Yisa'ena, then he can marry her. It means if she opts out on her own volition out of the marriage, or the husband dies and then she does Chalitz in front of him, he can marry her. Neshuhu b'shu beitin. It's Bezdin. So it means you have three Dayanim. So we don't, in other words, the question is, we don't want people to suspect that the Dayan just sustained the Neder in order to, you know, to sabotage. In other words, we don't want to think that the dayan sabotaged the marriage, so he would marry her. So, what? No. So for nedarim, I could have one mumcha. Could even be the hatar nedarim. So the Gemara says, but betoch kach, this is for chalitza. You need a bezdin. Chalitza, you need a bezdin of three. So I have two stam mishnayot with me and two stam mishnayot with chalitza. So how come one case we're doing 3, 1, 2? According to Rav Nachman, elahatam trei stam. The Gemara says there are two stamot that have to do with miyun. Hachat tlat the stamming. Here there are really three stam mishnayot because that was chalitza, but that was. That was with Mian. In other words, we said Mian was two. So the first one's Mian. They don't need a Bezdin. That's Mian and the three. And then, but that same Mishnah serves as a third Stam Mishnah for us. So in other words, we have our Mishnah. We have the Mishnah in Sanhedrin Daf Beis. And we have this Mishnah in Daf Chapei. They all say the Chalitza needs three Dayanim. So the Gemara says, Bichti, Hastam of the Hastam. So the Gemara says, look, at the end of the day, here's like an anonymous Mishnah. Here's an anonymous Mishnah. Mali Chat Stam, Mali Trey Stam, Mali Tata. What difference? One, two, three. At the end of the day, I have a Stam Mishnah that supports the Laka this way. So how come in one case, I'm saying the Laka is, you need three Dayanim for Chalitza, but for me, and Rav Nachman says two. Ela Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Hoyil V'satam B'makom Machloket. In other words, the Stam Mishnah is where we're quoting the Bar Pluta right before that and not quoting him here. Ditnan, smicha tzakenim ve'egla rufa b'shlosha divrei Rabbi Yossi, that the smicha tzakenim, he's talking about smicha tzakenim, smicha tzakenim, I assume he's talking about, one second, he's talking about with smicha tzakenim, one second. Yeah, this is par helen gabar shel tzibur. In other words, when the Sanhedrin makes an erroneous ruling and the Zekenim have to do smicha on the par, so it only doesn't require like the whole Sanhedrin to do it. So he says, smicha tzkenim be'egla rufa b'shlosha. For egla rufa, I need three dayanim. Divrei Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda mer b'chamisha. So we mentioned the town of Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah and that in Sanhedrin. And then it says, ha'chalitz v'binum b'shlosha. It says Chalitza and Mion is with three, below Kapalik Rabbi Yehuda. So we know that Rabbi Yehuda held Chalitza you need five, but we just quoted Rabbi Yehuda, now we're not quoting him. So he says, Shmamina Hadar made Rabbi Yehuda Shmamina. So from there I see that the Tana Rabbi Yehuda himself retracted his position. Since the Tana quotes the Tana Rabbi Yehuda right beforehand, and then when he quotes Chalitza, he doesn't quote Rabbi Yehuda, that's a Siman that Rabbi Yehuda is not Cholek anymore. So that's a good proof that the Halacha is like that way. That's why Rav Nachman held the halacha is like the Stam Mishnah over there. The other cases, not necessarily so. That's the way it was so. Okay, any? That's a side issue. The key is that Rabbi Yehuda is mentioned over there, that Rabbi Yehuda is mentioned. And then a line later, we don't mention Rabbi Yehuda, even though we know he writes. He retracted his opinion, but Allah is that way. Okay? So I'm going to go further in the Gemara. All right? The Gemara sometimes does that, but here the Gemara says not that way. But it's a good ha'ara. Okay, now. Okay, now let's see further in the Gemara. Now we're at the two dots. So, Amarava, Srichi Dayan and Lemikba Duchta. So, Rava says that the Dayanim have to have a designated place where they're going to meet. In other words, they can't just over here or come up, we'll grab the woman, we'll do it right here. A place that they've designated ahead of time where they're going to do the Chalitza. The Chivi, I'll tell you, even till Hashara Elaz Canaan. She'll go Hashara to the gate and implies the place that had already been designated for this Canaan. Rapapa of Rav Hunabarez of Yeshua. Adi Ubda B'chamisha. So we said, now a moment ago, we said the halacha is for chalitza need three dayanim. But notwithstanding that, the Gemara says the Rav Papa and Rav Huna B'Rav Yeshua, Adi Ubda B'chamisha, they either directed that it be done with five dayanim, or they were present and they were part of the five dayanim. So come on, Rav Yehuda. So the Gemara says, who are they following with the five dayanim? Is Tamad going like Rav Yehuda? Bahadarbe. But Rav Yehuda himself retracted his opinion. Why would they do five? The Gemara says, "Le persumi milta." In other words, no, in Akhenami only three dayanim, but they want a lot to publicize it. And I look in Rashi, and we did this earlier in the Yaladaf, "Le persumi milta, the chalutzahi, the lolin sivah lekohen." We want to advertise this woman is now a chalutza, so she can't marry Kohen. Inami, leitu inchi v'lekbitzula. Or, in the alternative, that people will know she's a free woman, now everybody can marry her. Say again, what? Well, there were more people than five around, but I have to look into it, but I think like we have like a number of people who are present at the chalitza. You know what I mean? Yeah. In other words, that's what I think. But let me, or we'll see now. Now, Rav Ashi, I'll catch in a few minutes. So let me just finish the talk, and I'll get you. Okay, Rav Ashi, Ikla Lebe Rav Kahana. Rav Ashi came to the house of Rav Kahana. Amarle, Sleek Mar the Gaban, the Maluye Bay Hamisha, says, come to us and you'll fill us out, we'll be fine. So Amarav Kahana, Habakain the Kame de Rabbi Yehuda, Amarle, Tasakla Zirza the Kani, that's the Rufe Bay Hamisha. So Rav Kahana said that he was standing before Rabbi Yehuda. This is different than the Rabbi Yehuda, this is the Amor Rabbi Yehuda. And he said to me, come, take a bundle of reeds, it's the Rufe Bay Hamisha. So the Pshat is either to a place that's where the row of reeds is, or the way the Masifta took it, like take a bundle of reeds so we'll have something to sit on and then come here for it. He says, but five. So Amrulo Lama Li Chamisha. So they said to him, why do we need five? Amar Lahu, Kiheki Lapar Se Milta. We needed to publicize it like we said before. Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda, or let me do quickly to Fern. Fern, what do you got for me? Fern, what's up?
Is this meant to be an embarrassment going up to the Shar?
Well, in a sense, like it's Yarka Bafanav, it means on the ground, but it's somewhat of a put down for the Yavam who's not doing Yibum. But the purpose of publicizing it, I don't think is related to disparaging people. Rashi said the purpose of publicizing it is that she's a chalutza or that she's like an eligible woman. Yeah, right. Okay. Now back in the Gemara, five lines from the bottom. We're in the small base in the parentheses. Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda, have a kai coming to Rav Yehuda. Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda was standing before Rav Yehuda. Amar lai sakal is years at the kani, that's the Rufe Bechamisha. So he said to him, come like to this either row of reeds or bring the bundle of reeds to sit, and we want to have five people and lift for Sui Milta because we want to publicize it. So Amar lai. So he, Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda, said, Tanina, we learned in the Mishnah, B'Yisrael, B'Beitin Shal Yisrael, B'Beitin Shal Gevrim. Or we learned in the Braisa, it has to be B'Yisrael, it has to be a Bezdin of Yisrael, and not converts, but not Ger. I'm a Ger, I'm not qualified to be on the Bezdin. So Amrav Yehuda, Kigon Marav Shmuel Bar Yehuda, Mapikna Mamona Apume. So now the Gemara attests to his high-level integrity. In other words, he couldn't sit on the Bezdin, but he says he has such integrity. Based on his testimony, I would, you know, force somebody like a litigant to give up money. So my peak the give up money, but I'll peach made him marachmana. Torah says you need two Edim. So if he testifies, you know, that so-and-so owes money, that wouldn't be enough to upi halacha to say you have to pay the money. He said, I would impair a shtar. It means if a malach comes with a shtar chov, so that's taken as prima facie evidence that the money is due and owing, because he says, shtar chav yadi my bai. How come I have a shtar in my possession? So if this Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda would come and say, I know that that shtar was paid up, so then we would leave everybody in situ, because he's such integrity. So we wouldn't be, you know, we wouldn't be motzi mamon. We leave it where it is. That's the way Rashi looks at it. Tosho says that if he would like impair the shtar, we would require the malved, the plaintiff, to have take a shvua. But anyway, the point is he's a high integrity person. Even though we'll see now. Now Amarava ger dana shaveiro dvar Torah. So Rava says a ger could be on a bez din of din and fashion. It sounds like a Jewish press quiz question. When can a ger be on a bez din for din and fashion? So if the defendant is himself a ger, so the ger could be on the bez din. He says on a Torah level. Shneimar som tasim alach melech ashev farah hashem al tech abo. Yiker b'chech atim lemelch. So it was place a king on top of you, but not labdafke king. Also a dayan is called like a melech. It's a little bit like the Gemara in Gittin says, "Man malche rabbanim, who the malachim, the rabbis." Not exactly the same, but anyway, he says alefa who debayin and nikarav achefa. In other words, if it's on you, on the full fledged Jew, so then I need a full fledged Jew mikarav achecha. He says aval ger dan chaveiro ger, but a ger can judge his fellow ger. If the ger's mother was Israel, and it was born from a Jewish mother, let's say the father converted or something like that, he says, Dana fil Israel. In chalitza, but for chalitza purposes, Adshehe Aviv Imom Israel, then I need both parents to be naturally born Jews. He says, Shenemar, but Ikrashu of Israel, and his name will be called Big Israel, in the presence of Israel, Beit Chalitanal. Okay, now. Okay, I think that's it for the doc today. Let me just see if I have a story or two for you, and then it'll be it. Okay, 1 minute, and then we'll talk. 1 minute, 1 minute, 1 minute. Let me get. All right. I'll do a brief story, and then we'll talk. Okay, the Medrash Rabbah recounts the following anecdote that also appears in the third chapter of Megillas Tanis. Alexander the Great wanted to ascend to Yerushalayim, but the Kutim tried to instill enmity within him against the Jews. They said to him, be warned, Jews will never allow you to enter the Kodesh Kadashim. So Giva ben Kosim heard their slander and prepared two ampilim, slippers or socks, which he adorned with two jewels that were worth a fortune. When the Macedonian ruler arrived at the Harabayit, accompanied by Giva, his companion feared to ask Alexander the Great to remove his shoes for halachic reasons. Surely he will think that this is just a pretext to keep him out of the Kodesh Kadashim, as the Kutim had warned him, give a reason. So Giva said instead, your majesty should remove his shoes and put on these on Pilin, since the floor of the Mikdash is slippery. The monarch complied, and they entered the Mikdash together. In other words, you can't enter the base of Mikdash with shoes. When Minich Sitzcha told over this medrash, he commented, although it is forbidden to enter the Mikdash with shoes, we can see that on Pilin are permitted. How do we know that they are not really considered shoes? The Gemara Masechet Shabbos on Samach Bav implies that one may enter the Mikdash wearing any footwear considered invalid for a chalitza. Since the Ibama Kofal of the Mishnah states on Pilin are so with chalitza, you can enter the Mikdash with it. Medrash continues, when they came to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, Giba himself a coin said, until here we have permission to enter, but it's forbidden for us to go any further. Alexander the Great said in anger, when I leave here, I am going to diminish you. Since Giba was very tall, he acted as if the king was saying he would reduce him to average height instead of threatening to punish him. Giba quipped, if your majesty can do that, he will be considered an expert physician, and I will pay him very much indeed. Alexander the Great wanted to force his way to the Kodesh Kadashim anyway, but a snake came and bit him, and the great ruler grew, suddenly he had to turn back. Okay, let me finish. Let me finish the recording. All right.